Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So, you own, manage, or work at a value-add multifamily property. What can you do that truly adds value to a property of this type? With this in mind, our topic today is value-add properties, everything you need to know. Joining me in the studio is Robert Lopes, founding partner and CEO of Relic Realty, and Kristen Settles, an award-winning property manager with FDC Management. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Robert, why don't we start out by letting our listeners know the definition of what a value-add property is.
Value-add to me, I would say, we kind of call it a property that we could reposition, identify some opportunities, we would say, on that property that could change its position in the market if we did some repairs and could get it some significant value increases within hopefully 3 to 5 years, but short term.
Mm-hmm. So. And I was reading an article in Multi-Housing News recently about value-add properties, and that the person they were interviewing was talking about the fact that in recent past, they were able to buy a property and then, from a value-add standpoint, do very minimal work, maybe some landscape, maybe a coat of paint, and they were able to go in and increase rents and so forth. But today, it's a little bit different. What are you finding that most properties demand now?
They demand creativity. I would say that above all, because we work in areas where we're buying properties where we're probably not the only one on the block doing that, doing a reposition or doing a value add. And in some cases, it's not our first property that we're doing a value add in that same submarket. So we have to do things that differentiate ourselves, adding a different type of playground or making our pool stand out a little more. I think even now it's more than just paint. It's adding the community events, things that bring the community together, just anything that makes you different than the property next door. But you also have to do everything that the property next door is doing too.
That's right. Got to keep up with what they're doing in the area to try and stay competitive, I guess. Also, I'm wondering, from a value add standpoint, when you're looking at a property to purchase or you're looking at property for investors to purchase, what are you looking for to be able to I guess, at a base level that you know you can make improvements on? Deferred maintenance, what is it you're trying to find?
Deferred maintenance can be good, but I'm looking for, from my standpoint, I like management. I like the change in management. What can I do that is really just a change in a culture for a property? I think that goes a long way. But interiors, that's where you get the bang for your buck. We're going to start with the office, start where it attracts the people to get them in the door. And then, because if we do everything on the inside and we don't do the outside, then no one's going to come see it. Yeah. So we want to attract people in the door. We want to work from the office, work from the pool area, things that you're going to see right away, work on the exterior. The interiors are, from that point on, everything we evaluate is going to be from a standpoint of how much money can we get back, how much more can we raise the rents if we did, X improvement, if we did the floors here, if we skipped over the floors and maybe saved the money there because it had ceramic tile or something in place, and we put the money into appliances, or what is it that we can do? And it's going to be dictated on price, what our budget is before, and also what the submarket's doing. So, we don't want to over-renovate as well.
Right. And I guess a lot of that is discovered, Kristen, during the due diligence phase. And that's an important part of when you're looking at a property to do value add.
Right. I think doing an extensive due diligence is the most important thing. Not just getting in and getting out, but actually taking your time. Yes, getting on roofs, looking at plumbing, that type of thing. But also getting inside of every single unit and every single room, closet, you want to see everything. Mm-hmm. So that you have the opportunity to know what it is that you can fix and correct. which can help determine your budget as well.
Sure.
Under every sink.
Absolutely. I mean, things hide all the time, things that you would never expect. And, you know, just because you're in the living room and everything looks fantastic from that standpoint, there could be a mess just down the hall and you don't know.
Sure. And you're going into people's homes where they're actually living. So they've got furniture, they've got cabinets are full of things. So you're having to be able to see around those things or try and imagine what's behind those things if you can't move them in order to be able to come up with a budget to work with.
Correct.
And the more detailed you are in those inspections during your due diligence, the easier it is to build a report per unit. And kind of gauge how much you actually need of something. I mean, there's one way to, you could say you're going to spend $5,000 per door for an interior rehab, but you may not need that in every single unit. So it's, if you can look at it from a standpoint and say, all right, in 15 of these units, I don't need carpet, or in 20% of the units, I don't need to change out the appliances, then you can kind of put together what you do need specifically and not budget for 100%. No, I use a lot of assumptions.
Right. We've had on previous episodes of the show, we've talked about different things. When we've touched on due diligence, I actually went on some due diligence with some folks that were on the show. And one of the things that they do now when they're looking at how they're going to, I guess, add amenities is they put in USB jacks around the property, where I guess in the past it was cable and phone jacks and so forth. Now it's USB and adding more power plate where people can connect their devices and so forth. Mm-hmm. Is that something you see on a regular basis?
I don't know if I see it on a regular basis yet. I mean, I definitely think in the A-class properties and newer construction, it's for sure something that is starting to become a standard. I think when you get into the C-class value adds, that is something that you can do. But is it the norm right now? I still think we're a little bit away, but that's just my opinion. I work with a lot of older product. In every submarket, I don't believe it's the same. Like Texas City, for some reason, if I'm doing a property out there that's, you know, built in the 80s, I'm probably not putting that in. There's probably some other things that I think I can get my money out of first before I do something like that. That may be on the wish list for like 5 years from now in the second wave or something. But you want to leave some meat on the bone for the next person to come in too. So maybe that's the next thing that you can do.
My property is in the energy corridor. So that's something that we're actually making right now as part of our rehab and turn process is adding those USB jacks.
Yeah. And where are you adding them? In the bedrooms and kitchens and places?
Kitchen is a really good spot. Mm-hmm. And then one in the master.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good. We had another gentleman on another show who's in the contracting business, and he was talking about they'll go around at due diligence and make suggestions for things like exterior light fixtures at, you know, where the door is, or how you can update that with a current looking fixture as opposed to what was built put there in the 1980s, mm-hmm. and it can make a world of difference and give the property a different look. Did you try and do those things, Robert?
Yeah, we try to do that everywhere, actually. That's probably one of the standards that we would – I haven't seen a property yet where we couldn't apply that if it's, you know, an 80s or 90s build or 60s or 70s even. Mm-hmm. But not only is that good for to change up the look, but, I mean, if you're changing out the light fixtures, doing energy-efficient fixtures, you're lowering your cost of electricity. You're also, you know, in a lot of companies, there's a company out there now. I don't know if I could say names of companies, but GreenLogic, I mean, we've worked very closely with them, and they actually will go in and work and get your rebate together for any tax deductions you're able to get off of doing the whole property. Now, you have to do a significant amount, but they'll make sure you get that, you recover those costs as much as you can.
Yeah, and I know there's other companies that do all kinds of things, not only with that, but with water and water fixtures and then the more efficient appliances and HVAC units and so forth. Yeah, we had a person who was doing a lot of value add work, and he was talking about the fact that the first thing they do when they go into a property is they'll change out all the HVAC so that they've got more efficient HVAC and fewer maintenance issues. And I guess it's to each his own, however they want to, you know, approach that. It seems like an expensive route to take. But by the same token, he thinks it works.
Yeah, and it does. If there's different properties that have different needs. If I go in and I see that that's one of the things that we identify, I would do that in a heartbeat. I mean, it saves on your maintenance calls. It's going to save you on your overtime, your employee overtime, and all your employees are going to love that. It's going to have your team morale. They're not going to be spending all their time doing work orders late at night. They're going to have it all done and be able to just do their work and go home every day for the most part.
And this is Houston, Texas, where we do get some heat.
Yeah.
Right, right. But it's not always necessary to do all of them to make that big jump. That would be that due diligence assessment that we talked about earlier.
Right.
So I would say with the value add, it's not just doing things that'll increase your income. I mean, lowering your expenses, especially in your utilities, is something that is a great way to add value and probably one of the more significant and first things that you would do, easier things to do that can apply to almost all communities.
Sure.
Especially with the water in Houston.
Sure.
So in Texas in general.
Exactly. Well, we're gonna take a break and a fascinating topic about everything you need to know about a value-add property. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing value-add properties, everything you need to know. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Robert Lopes, founding partner and CEO of Relic Realty, and Kristen Settles, an award-winning property manager with FDC Management. Before we get back into the discussion, I just want to remind our listeners, you can go to the Multifamily Matters website at www.multifamilyradio.com and listen to past episodes, as well as email us and provide us with any topic or guest suggestions that you have. That's www.multifamilyradio.com. So we were talking during the break, guys, about some of the stories that you've come across when you are doing your due diligence, looking at a value-add property. One of the stories you said is, to me, is a little bit frightening. What did you find at a property when you were there once, and at what point did you find it?
Very soon after we took over a property, we realized that we had bats. And
flying bats.
Flying bats, yes. Right. We didn't know how extensive the problem was, but just hearing bats is a headache right off the bat because they are federally protected. And there is only a certain time that you can remedy the situation, especially if it's, you know, during mating season. You kind of just have to let it be. Mm-hmm. So that ended up being about a $16,000 unexpected cost.
Wow.
That just dug a huge hole into our budget that we were not expecting at all. So I think that pest control is something that is overlooked to a certain extent during due diligence. Obviously, when you do a takeover, you know that you're going to have an extensive clean out of every unit. You're going to exterminate for roaches, that type of thing. Bed bugs can get very expensive. Termites can get very expensive, as well as bats. So just paying that extra to have somebody from a pest control company come and do a walkthrough of the property with you and just eliminate those factors is the best idea.
And in this particular case with the bats, you guys were called in after the due diligence process had been completed.
Correct.
So you were had to figure out what to do and so forth.
What do we do now? Yeah.
And you have to bring in experts, I guess, to tell you what you have to do, especially if something's federally protected like bats.
Right.
Yeah, because you can't just shoot them or go spray stuff up there or any of the things that anyone would want you to do when they're calling to complain about them.
Right.
So you have to make sure you're covered and all your liabilities are in order. So it's best to have a third party take care of that. But some other things, I mean, pest control is just one of those things that gets overlooked. Everybody does their sewers, their roofs, and looks at all the obvious stuff. But I don't always see pest control taken as a major issue to see everything that we need to take care of before we go in and operate a property. But I have seen where it's turned into a value add, where especially during the time when I don't even know what year it was, when bed bugs were the craze. It was just like every news story was bed bugs when in multifamily. And in that year, I've seen where shortly in the years coming where we did inspections on every unit. While we don't do that now and need to do that anymore, but the cost of doing the inspection every unit and then being able to say during the time where it's the top story on the news that everyone has bed bugs is that we've inspected, this has been certified inspected unit in every home in this community. And so you can sell that, and then this is why you're paying $15 more per month.
Because it's guaranteed no bed bugs.
Bed bug free. It's already been treated. It's already been certified and inspected. And if you get any, then it's under warranty for a year.
Yeah.
So,
you know, when you think about the different, I guess, phases of construction and multifamily, you know, the 70s construction, the 80s construction, and so forth, there was a phase where everything was wood siding, and I guess in those cases you would have termites and so forth. And, you know, nowadays they're building brick and not as much wood and so forth. So when you look at the age of a property and the type of construction it had back in the day it was built, does that turn on some or send up some red flags with you as far as things you need to make sure you check?
It sets off red flags of things you need to check, but it sets off some green flags of things that I know that I'm going to be able to improve right out the gate. I mean, especially on the exteriors, the lighting that we talked about, if there's patio fixtures or something where there's an enclosure, maybe adding an enclosure, updating it, there's little features that you can do all the way around, adding an enhancement to the office, updating the office. I know I'm going to have interiors to do on a property like that. Even if it's a 1980s build and they renovated it in 2008 or something, it's like that's still 10 years ago. There's still going to be so much that even if they did the whole property, there's going to be things that I can add to that property that I can exploit and make into make more profitable or save some money as far as those expenses go. Adding new amenities like playgrounds. Adding unique amenities that bring communities together, like in one property we did a splash pad. And while I don't think that's something you could add to everyone, this was an extremely large community, like over 500 units. Mm-hmm. But that splash pad is something that while everyone doesn't use it all the time and the pool's only open during the summer, when you come in and you see that, and the kids see that of all the properties that don't have one, they're like, I want to live here. They're telling their parents. So while that may add a little bit of a cost with the water, especially if it's not recycled, and it better be, but it adds a little bit more of a wow factor, and that's going to allow you to fill up your units faster. There's going to have some more excitement for that property, and you're going to have less vacancy out the gate. So It may not be something you can translate directly into, I'm going to get $15 more per month or per unit because I have a splash pad here. But just the keeping your occupancy high for unique amenities is a tremendous value add for a community.
And something like that also helps bring in a certain type of clientele, I would imagine, as far as if you have a family-oriented property, you know, with young kids who would – it would want to play in the splash pad.
Right. And definitely in doing things that are specific to the demographic that you have or the demographic that you want. But if you have a property that's all one-bedroom apartments and there are still, you know, properties that are all one-bedroom apartments, then maybe a playground isn't the thing that you're trying to put in at that community. Maybe there's other things that you can do. I mean, business centers used to be a standard that you had everywhere, and then that switched into internet cafes, something with Wi-Fi, and now everybody has a Starbucks at the corner somewhere close by, and that's their internet cafe. But just to have, I mean, so many, everybody has something that connects to the internet, their phone, their tablet, their computer, their video game devices. I mean, having a gaming area, something like that, is something unique. Having ways to plug into the sound system in the fitness center, not just having a fitness center with the same equipment, having new modern equipment and open space to do modern workouts. Those are things that set you apart. Exercise bikes, TVs. There's so many things now that have changed. I mean, you could walk into any community that was built before 2000 and probably do some kind of updates.
Yeah. You had mentioned the office, redoing the office, and I went to a property that was just purchased by somebody out of Florida, and right when it was purchased. And then I came back about 60 days later. The first time I went there, the office looked like it was straight out of 1973, you know, with the furniture and everything. I walked back in, and it looked like something off of, you know, Fifth Avenue in New York. Mm-hmm. And I obviously the people in the office that work there love it, but they said that they were getting a lot of good comments and was helping them with their leasing efforts. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the exterior in the office, that's your initial wow factor. How well it's done, how much thought is put behind it really lets a prospect and a potential resident know the kind of thought process that's going to go into their potential home. And I think that has a lot to tie in with the operational aspect of value add and, you know, having capable staff and class A customer service and always going above and beyond. That adds to your property. Yeah. And those are simple things.
And I started in this industry as a leasing professional, so I still have that. I'm still that at heart. And when I go to an office and I sit down, I think about where I'm going to close and where I know a lot of owners determine that they don't like the models because it's taking a unit that could be generating revenue. But if it keeps your occupancy high because of that wow factor, I mean, you have to not just have these spaces, but have them decorated right. I mean, have them designed, have the layout of it. I mean, we use a designer, and since I can say companies, Designs by Homes, Marcy Holmes, she's great. She does a lot of our units, a lot of our models, a lot of our offices. And, you know, and she's someone that used to be one of our bosses. And she knows not just design, but multifamily. Mm-hmm. And so how an office needs to flow. And she thinks about where you need to take someone to close. And I love that because that's what I think of when I'm thinking of where my teams are going to, how they're going to work and what's going to be most efficient for them. I mean, the morale of the team changes when you, especially we took over a property recently where there is a manager that had worked at the same property, the same community for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And within 60 days, you know, my partner has worked to help kind of organize the construction, and we're not even 60 days in, actually. I think we're about 40 days in, and we relocated the office for maybe all of a week or 2 weeks. And it's the fastest I've ever had this done in our tenure of having this community or having communities. And she moved, I went back there yesterday, already had everyone moved in the office, had all the furniture in. It looked like a completely different space. And I've never seen that manager smiling so hard. And she's been there forever. And the people love her. And it's like she got a new job, but in the same place with everyone that she knows and loves. So,
wow.
And I mean, and it sells it. I mean, especially if it's not just a standalone office, this is a smaller community. So the office is actually a unit.
Right.
So
okay, great. Well, we're going to be back after a short break. I want to remind everybody that you can listen to our shows at our website, www.multifamilyradio.com. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing value-add properties, everything you need to know. I'm Paul Marks, and I'm talking with Robert Lopes, founding partner and CEO of Relic Realty, and Kristen Settles, an award-winning property manager with FDC Management. Before we jump back into the conversation, I want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, Kristen, I've said every time we come in that you're an award-winning property manager. Let's talk a little bit about that. This year, 2018, you were awarded, your property was awarded Property of the Year from the Houston Apartment Association. Is that correct?
Correct.
So tell us a little about what goes into that and the process of entering and so forth.
Sure. So during the interim process, they take into account when your property was built and how large it is, if it's garden style, mid-rise, or high-rise, and you're divided into categories. So a lot of things are judged. The exterior appearance of your property, your financials, your occupancy, your staff, and the involvement with HAA and also other community organizations. Do they do any volunteer work, that type of thing? So really the entire operation is assessed during that process. Once they pick finalists, then they do an actual tour, which is a surprise. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what day it's on. And so they come and they tour your property and they look at everything. You show them a vacant unit or a model if you have it. Let them meet your staff because your staff, that's where it's at right there. For the Lexington, we're a 94 build and we have not done a complete rehab. We are actually under the rehab process right now. So our competitors, where they have recently been rehabbed, we haven't done exterior paint and that type of thing. I wanted to really showcase my team mm-hmm. and how they pay attention to small details and how well they take care of the property and take care of the residents. And that was what I really wanted to showcase. And I think that we did a fantastic job and we ended up winning our category.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Robert, I know you've been involved in some award-winning properties as well.
Yeah, I've had my hand in a couple. Kristen's been with me in a lot of it. My partner, Karen, as well. I mean, we've had, I think we're at like 7 or 8, probably 9 awards right now, one national. And we've won a couple every year in the past 3 years and 4 1 year. Properties of the Year, employee, staff. But it's all about the team. I mean, right. I think that's the people that work it. That's probably the biggest value add you can add to any property, and changing the mentality of a place. I mean, having fresh ideas, it's totally different. It's a totally different perspective when you've worked in the same property for a long time and then new owners come in and all the things you wanted to get fixed while you were working there. Now, all of a sudden, somebody's in with money to fix them all and to do new stuff. So it's an exciting time at that. You just have to make it that and capture that little lightning in a bottle and figure out how to market it.
One thing that I think today is different than years and years ago when in the industry is that the internet presence that's there. And so when you're doing your due diligence and you're looking at value add, do you look at all at the internet and what the reputation has been of the property? And does that give you some kind of guidance as some of the things you need to change? You know,
I need to change the name.
Exactly.
Right.
Depending on how bad the reputation is. It's just still an opportunity there because that's a whole new marketing. I mean, you may not want to do that because you may not want to get the city in to do everything. It causes some complications with that when you're trying to pull if you're trying to avoid going through habitability or anything that's really expensive. But yeah, if we could do that, I mean, I have a client that's changed the name just to brand it for all of their communities, no matter where we've went. And then other times we don't recommend it.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Internet presence is important. The apartment ratings, you know, the larger you are, you're always going to get some negative complaints, but it's making sure you respond to everything, that you do. You're doing everything you can to make those people happy and acknowledge them. I mean, they're people. They're your clients, the people that that pay everything and allow us to do what we do. So we do it. We deserve to. They deserve that. We give them our best.
And revamping your website, and how findable are you on Google?
Right.
Changing pictures.
Right.
I like all the before pictures that we get in the beginning, and then to see the drastic differences after we make it, after we change out a pool or change out an office completely. And the interiors generate excitement. We always try to display pictures that are like of kitchens or areas where they're going to spend their time in, more so than just like, here's the picture of our new sign.
Yeah, we actually on a previous show, we were talking about internet, and one of the comments that was made is back in the previous days before internet, your first impression was when they drove onto the property, and that, you know, if you didn't have that good first impression, they may never come in. Nowadays, they don't even go to the property to get a first impression. It's what they find on the internet. So that's got to be something that that you have to consider in your value add process, is what do we need to do to make that first impression without them even seeing the property? And the person who made that comment said, there's no way to track how many potential residents you lose because they went online and didn't like what they saw. I mean, it's not like they come in, they take a tour, and then they never sign a lease. These people never come in if they don't like what they see online. So how do you handle those types of things? And do you do that in-house, or do you have people that help you, third-party companies?
I mean, I've done both. I've worked with larger companies, national companies, and then I've worked with local companies and then starting our own. For that, it kind of depends on for us we would do it ourselves, but for a client it depends on what their values are, what they're putting their money into, what they see as important. So a lot of times we have to kind of bend to the client, but I would say both are important.
And do you if you get something, once you take the property over, you get something online that's a potentially negative post or whatever, how do you handle dealing with that? Do you respond to everyone?
Right after you take over?
Mm-hmm.
I think just letting everybody know that, hey, we're a new management company, and our goal is to make things better, to make it your experience better.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to always have a resident who might not think that you made the best decision in their favor, and they may go and leave a negative review about you. The thing is being transparent and saying, hey, you know what, we might have messed up and we want to make it better. So give us that opportunity and let's do it right. But always acknowledging all your reviews, both good and bad, all the time. Don't hide from it. Be completely transparent and acknowledge everybody's complaint or compliment.
Do you use some of the software or services out there that alert you when a review's been posted so that you know?
We don't currently with my management company. It's my responsibility to check everything. So just like I do my monthly searches, we do monthly sex offender searches and those types of things to make sure that nobody has put your address down. I check my online reviews weekly and respond to them at that time.
Yeah, but there are companies that, you know, reputation management companies that'll do that, that we've played with in the past. I don't know that there's I don't know that I have an experience that I can speak to on that I think is probably that adds anything to the conversation, other than other than just doing it ourselves. I mean, ultimately, I think you're responsible for your community. So whether you hire someone else or whether you outsource it or whether you do it in-house, it's important to do those things. I mean, some places we do it, they have to do it weekly. Mm-hmm. But I even like when you take over, if there's a lot of bad reviews on a place, immediately going in and just putting something up that says, hey, we're new ownership, and even responding to a few of those more recent reviews, mm-hmm. and just saying, what can we do to either help you out if you're still a resident here, if you're still a current resident, or if you're a former resident, then I probably wouldn't say anything at that point.
You know, we had a guest who was telling us about when they go in and they do a renovation, they try and create some excitement, not only with the existing resident base, but also the traffic going up and down the street by putting up banners that say, you know, 90 days and counting, or you know, something, a countdown for when they're substantially complete with their renovation and changing the property. Do you guys try and create that excitement in the neighborhood, or are you doing it online? Or
yeah, we could do it both ways, but definitely, I mean, you need to do it everywhere. Every interaction is an opportunity to sell. So I mean, we could do a ribbon cutting. Mm-hmm. We just like to make I like to make a big deal of everything. So I like to celebrate every accomplishment we have, because there's, you know, there's going to be so many more times that someone's going to come in and it's not going to be the best moment. And, you know, and in those opportunities can be tough on a community and on the individuals and the staff that work there. So I think it's important that we celebrate everything, that we make everything as positive as possible. Ribbon cuttings, parties, events, resident events monthly, anything to showcase, open houses on your new models, mm-hmm. Not just marketing to the people on the outside, but marketing to the demographic that you have too, because they may be willing to just upgrade and pay some more money just to move across the building or across the other side of the property.
Well, we're gonna take a break in just a second here. We are going to talk a little bit when we come back in our final segment about the do's and don'ts of value add, as well as how do you attract the demographic that you want to your property. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing value-add properties, everything you need to know. I'm Paul Marks, and my guests are Robert Lopes, founding partner and CEO of Relic Realty, and Kristen Settles, an award-winning property manager with FDC Management. I said before we took the break that we were going to talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of value add when you're looking at amenities and so forth. What are some of those that we can share with our listeners?
Definitely see how to maximize your space, your land mass that you have when you're talking about putting in amenities. Dog parks are extremely popular right now, and especially in an older community where you wouldn't be able to get it before. Mm-hmm. So really seeing where you can place this. I know at my property, we have a giant chessboard. And where other properties that I managed in that area would not get any use at all. It gets so much use at our property. It is one of the favorite amenities that we have.
Don't add things you can't utilize. A fitness center is great to have, but if you're not going to have it open, if it's only going to be open during business hours when everybody's working, it's like, what is it there for?
Right.
I know people don't want to open those things up after hours, but find a way, put your cameras in, put the keypad on, and make it something that your residents can actually use.
Business centers are great. Internet cafes are better, in my opinion. Where I met anyways, people want Wi-Fi access and they just want a comfy place that they can be on their laptop and do their thing. They don't necessarily want to use mine.
So add amenities anywhere you can, I guess I would say where that comes in. Find common areas, common spaces where people can get together, build a community. Don't over renovate would be something that I would say. Don't add more than you need to an interior. If you could get away with, I think at a property now we're doing, going to do granite in all the units, but instead of doing granite in, every kitchen and bathroom, it's just in the kitchen area. And then the bathrooms will resurface the countertops, because we won't get as much out of that. We'll spend a lot less per unit. Mm-hmm. And then we'll still get the same effect. We'll still get the rental increase as if we had granite throughout. That's not something I think we can get anything back for. In other words, a value to us.
And, I was talking with an owner who had put a very fancy coffee machine in his office. And people were stopping in that live there and making coffee. He figured out that after a couple of months, they were going through 3,000 coffee cups a month of the disposable coffee cups. So he did away with those and said, you're welcome to have coffee, but bring your own. And he ended up saving tremendous amount of money, not just on the cups, but then people said, I'll go Starbucks on my way to work instead of stopping by the office, which I don't know, it's counterintuitive to the amenity, but I didn't think that anybody anticipated, having to put that much coffee out there. Those are some of the things. And then one of the things that I was talking with someone about that they're doing, and I actually saw something similar on a property. I went to a property on a Saturday. And as I was getting there, they were loading up a truck with all these different type spin bicycles. And so I talked to the manager, and they brought in an instructor, and they had a spin cycling class. Obviously, the property didn't have all the equipment to do that, but they provided the equipment. And I don't know if there was a charge for that or if they were doing that to try and recruit people for them to train or whatever it might be. But I've talked to several people that say that they will use whatever space they have. And some properties have clubhouses that are no longer being used, older properties for that. And they'll use that to have yoga classes or different things that can be scheduled in advance and people know about. Do you come across anything like that?
Yeah, we actually do that. We outsourced it for a while, but we're kind of bringing that a little more in-house now this year to save on cost. But we've done yoga, spin classes, self-defense training. I mean, anything that's the hot topic. Say swimming classes, swimming lessons, done that. We've done a lot of events like gatherings. I mean, even where some alcohol is served, some wine, breakfast, just anything that we could utilize the space. I mean, we'll do breakfast at the gate and meet everybody outside with muffins on the way out to work one day. Those are all like tried and true resident events that I'm sure like a lot of companies would. If you've been in this industry anytime, you probably stood outside and at 6 a.m. handing out a muffin at some point in your career. Yeah, there's so many things that I would do with that. Every space.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a lot of properties that have been built in recent years that have the retail space as part of it, multi-use type properties, and they have space that's not occupied, just bare walls in there. And one of the owners was telling me that they use that space for pop-up cafes or the classes and the arts and crafts classes or things like that. That if they've got that space, why not use it? It could be a way to generate income, I guess, if you're able to charge for the person who's putting on the class. But it's also a way to provide an amenity for your resident.
Well, we had a property that had it was just using this one space that looked like it could be an open space for like a small daycare or something, and they were just using it for pretty much a couple hours once a week as a kid's reading room. And we converted it to a full after-school program every day and weekend summer programs, activities with kids, English second language courses because it's a heavily Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, something that can get daily use out of it and bring the community together. I mean, the people now, they don't want to leave that community because where else would they be able to, like, their kids get right off the bus and get to go play around and you know, in their new playroom with the staff that's there. I mean, volunteer staff that comes in and takes care of everything for them. So feeds them snacks and all of that.
Well, let's talk in these last few minutes that we have about demographics and how you determine demographics when you look at a property and you're going to start doing your value add. How do you track the demographics? What kind of techniques do you use to start that process?
Shopping and market surveys. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you go and you're getting ready to do a takeover due diligence, the people around you, they don't know who you are. So seeing what other communities are doing at that time and who they're appealing to, looking at employers. If you have any like large hiring phases that are going on, for instance, I'm in the energy corridor. So we know for the most part, that is going to need to be a highly efficient, energy efficient area. And that's kind of going to be the hub of what you do in your rehabs. If you have something in Baytown, you have a lot of factory and oil and things like that. So really looking at where you are location wise, who your employers are, those types of things. And you know, who's lived there before, who moved there before, because it's not going to change, your demographic's not going to change overnight. So you need to appeal to the people that still live there and also begin to appeal to the people that you want to move, that you want to move there.
Like we have a lot in Spring Branch and unintentionally, but we have a lot in Spring Branch and it's sort of becoming like the overflow for the memorial and all the properties that were torn down in the last 10 years and that are inside the loop. I mean, Spring Ranch is just outside the loop. So it's all the people that lived in those communities that, you know, didn't pay the high rise rates now that are the mid and high rise rates that are going in the place of the communities they moved out of. I mean, they're wanting to still stay closer. So they still work in town. You know, so this is where they end up going. And so, I mean, I think that's where Spring Ranch has seen a lot of growth. We look at the schools. That'll tell you, I mean, a lot of families, one of the first things they come in and want to know, moms and dads want to know where their children are going to school at. So make sure you're aware of everything that you're zoned to. And then that's likely where you're going to pull people from. I mean, and if you're at a certain rate, you're going to pull teachers. If you're around a lot of houses, then, I mean, you're selling that. You know, you don't have to do your own yard work and don't have to pay those taxes every year. So, and we'll do your maintenance for you. So all for one little small price compared to all of that. So.
And I noticed that after Hurricane Harvey, you know, a lot of people were just displaced by the hurricane and they moved into apartments. And some of the owners I've spoken with have told me that they're surprised that how they are actually retaining a lot of those because they realize the convenience of not having to do yard work and so forth. And they're at an age where they're empty nesters and, you know, they'd rather go out and do something else and have to maintain a home all the time. Are you seeing that in the energy corridor at all?
I actually, on both sides of us, the neighborhoods behind us flooded. And so we did have several residents that were Harvey victims. And I had one couple who had been in their house for years and years. And they told me that they were just going to sell because they realized the convenience of being in an apartment home and not having to deal with everything, yard work and maintenance and HOA and, you know, not having to deal with that was a huge convenience for them. And, you know, especially in the time where they just want to kind of sit back and not worry about everything. So they actually renewed their lease contract with me. So that's pretty exciting. And their house is for sale.
Yeah.
And an unintentional value add is when everybody came by our properties and after that time and everyone's like, did you flood? And,
right.
And if you
right.
didn't flood, then you were flooded with people that were coming in and needed a new place and you were full. I mean, so that was a great time in that sense. But I think in the retaining of them, of that clientele, it's it's, I mean, especially people in Meyerland that have been through it 2 and 3 times sure. in the past 10 years. I think at this point they're just fed up. Sure. I mean, there's so many houses that are on the market now that you can, I mean, you can get a bunch of flood homes easy now. So you can yep. rent them. You can't sell them.
Well, I want to take these last couple of minutes and give you guys a chance to tell a little bit about what you're doing and your background and how people can reach you if they want to reach out to you. You want to start?
I'll go first. Mm-hmm. So I have been in property management 7, going on 8 years. I got my start with this guy next mm-hmm. to me. He gave me a chance at being a leasing professional, and then I just kind of moved up from there. Currently with FDC Management, they're based out of California. They have 3 properties in Texas, 2 in Dallas, 1 in Houston, and then the base is out of California, but they also do third-party management as well. Mm-hmm. So I am currently managing the Lexington on Briar Forest, and yeah, having the time of my life.
Award-winning property.
Award-winning property, absolutely.
Now, Robert, before you start, I just want to say that I think I saw where you recently were awarded your CPM designation from Institute of Real Estate Management. Congratulations on that, because that is not an easy designation to obtain. So you're the cream of the crop there with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a lot of executives have it. A lot mm-hmm. of people I look up to and admire for a long time have it. So I was inspired to do it. It took me 1.5 years. I wouldn't have been able to do it without my partner, Karen. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I wanted to do it when I was a leasing consultant and had my eyes on it. I wouldn't have been able to afford it or have the time to even go through it. But, I mean, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Didn't anything in college, all the exams and all that stuff. So I was happy to get through it. But, I mean, I think I have every designation through the Apartment Association at this point now.
Yeah.
Pool certified, EPA Universal certified. I'm just a student. I'm just a student that stopped, yeah. never stopped.
You have to pay a lot of fees every year to keep yep. those. A lot of continuing education.
A little over a grand. I just went through and infiltrated IRM, not only with the CPM, but did the ARM.
You did the ARM too.
And then the ACOM. And now I'm getting our company as an accredited management organization too. So I love education. And I try to stress it to our teams. And I mean, you can never learn too much.
So. Well, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and about Relic.
Relic Realty. So we started it 4 years ago, award-winning management company. You know, my partner handles the operations. You know, I grow the business. You can contact us 281-766-3444 or info@relicrealty.com. That's Relic with a K. Call us for your due diligence. Maybe not after your due diligence, but hopefully before it, and we can do it with you.
Yeah.
We'd love to help anyone that needs us.
All right.
Then we can really tell you everything about
value
property
add.
And yeah, value add instead of, you know, we've done an hour, so I hope we covered as much as we could.
I think so. Well, thank you guys for being here. We will be back each and every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Business 1110 KTEK with another great show and a great panel of guests. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.